Welcome to Courtside Indiana Podcast. This is Jim Reamer recording episode 137. Joined by Kyler Staley, Prep Hoops Network, and IU Rival, the IU Rivals website, thehoosier.com. We both do a little work for that website, so it's good to have Kyler on again. Kyler, how was your week in California?
It was great, man. I got to spend some time with my best friend, watch him get married and everything. It's just a really beautiful place. Spent some time in San Francisco, which is a very, very cold area, which kind of shocked me. But the wedding was in Northern California, so it got a little bit warmer and stuff. But it was a fun weekend overall.
Was it cold? How cold? Like, because it's – their temperature's pretty – moderate the whole year, plus or minus a few stints.
It was like high 50s. It was cold. it was hot.
I told you the time I was out there. We talked about this earlier. I told you the time we were out there. We were out there for the Oladipo draft. So what would that have been? 2014, something like that.
Yeah.
In June of 2014. It was the hottest summer they had had. Or the hottest stretch that they'd had in 58 years.
Wow.
And we didn't rent a car. I did public transportation the whole way. We took the train down, which was nice. I enjoyed it. I think the kids appreciated it. They were going to be on campus because it was a camp at Stanford. I was going to be at a hotel in their little village. So I was right next to campus, but luckily I rented a bike. I was at least able to cut through some of the heat. And it was other than the temperature, like you said, it's a pretty cool looking, it's a pretty cool part of the state up there. I like the architecture.
Chinatown's really cool. We found a bar there and we just kind of hung out there for a little bit. It's definitely a culture shock. I mean, it's a lot different than being in Indiana, I will say that, but it's pretty cool. And got to see the Golden Gate Bridge, got to see Alcatraz for a little bit, but it's a very interesting place. I would definitely go back and check it out.
Man, anytime I go to somewhere that has, anytime I go somewhere somewhat casually, I mean, I obviously most of the travel I do is for basketball, so usually got a good amount of purpose to what I'm doing. But anytime I go where I'm going to have a lot of my own time, if they have a good rail system, I don't rent a car.
Mm-hmm.
Especially with obviously the prominence now of Uber, things like Uber and Lyft, I don't rent a car anymore. I just take the train, and if there's some place I can't walk to that the train doesn't serve, then I just take an Uber. And it's, you know, but you know, obviously for basketball, I got to have a vehicle most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
But we talked about it when we were in Atlanta playing. I left my car in the garage, the hotel garage, and used the scooter. I used a scooter all week. I enjoyed that. Okay. That was fun.
Yeah,
it was a little tough with a ball bag. Big ass ball bag that I have, but
yeah, you know, we just cool. Walked mostly the whole time. We walked mostly the whole time, and then the wedding was in Northern California, so we had to do about an hour and a half drive, and we actually got upgraded to a 2022 all black Mustang. So nice. that was fun to have for a weekend. Felt like a high roller.
Was it a convertible?
Yes, it was. We had the top down, everything. My head got sunburnt really bad, but I was living life at that point.
Well, if you ever look real closely at my forehead, you can tell how much I have my sunroof open, which is a lot because it's like a gradient. It goes from brown to normal to not brown to normal skin to normal, like my normal color, I should say. As it goes across my forehead because I've just got my sunroof open constantly. So unless it's raining, nice. my sunroof is open. If it's 45 degrees or higher and no precipitation, sunroof's open. I love that thing being open the whole time. So
that's nice to have.
Just turn the heater on if it gets too cold. So, well, you didn't go to games this weekend. I saw some games. I guess if you have some questions about some of that stuff, you can certainly ask me. We had the final event for the NY2 LA circuit. I was up in Milwaukee. I spent a decent amount of time. I did get a chance to watch some Indiana teams, but I didn't see a whole lot new. I didn't see a whole lot. I saw a lot of tired kids gutting it out and finishing out the year. And you know, it was good. It was a lot of coaches were up there, which was a good thing. But we do have a topic. We have a couple of questions put to us that I by a listener, and I think we're going to address those after we get done with the recruiting stuff here. But let's go ahead and get that updated. I'll do that now. Let's see. I think last week I published right as Jake Davis picked up an offer. So that makes it happens every week. As soon as I hit publish, I mean, in 2 minutes, two offers came across after I published. And those two offers, Jake Davis, forward from Cathedral, picked up a Division One offer from Campbell. He also picked up later in the week, or since then, I should say, because it really bled into yesterday, picked up offers from Navy and Incarnate Word. Incarnate Word is coached by Andrean alum and Purdue alum Carson Cunningham. Jace Howell, a point guard from Madison Grant, picked up an offer from Manchester. Caden Vasco, who was reclassified and is heading to Don Bosco or staying at Don Bosco Prep for an additional year or post-grad year, picked up an offer from Akron. I did miss an earlier Jake Davis offer. He also picked up an offer from Army, so that's two offers from service academies. Devin Woods, point guard at Pike, seniors, all these are seniors except one, picked up an offer from Franklin. Sean Arnold picked up a Division II offer from St. Thomas Aquinas in New York. Assistant coach Matt Bax is out there. He is a Marion, Indiana graduate and a high school graduate. JJ Morris at Argos also picked up an offer from Manchester. Oh, scratch that on the 2023. Antonio Lisenby. Well, let's get to him in a minute. Let's see. Kamari Jones, guard at Lawrence Central, picked up an offer from Illinois Springfield. It's a Division II school in the GLVC. Joey Hart from Linton picked up another mid-major offer from Bowling Green. Amari Carson picked up an offer, guard from Anderson from South Carolina State. And then Marcus Burton today, a couple hours ago, picked up an offer. The point guard from Penn picked up an offer from Notre Dame. So that would be his first, that would sort of break the high major ceiling. We've got one sophomore who received an offer this week. Chase Barnes picked up an offer earlier today. He's a 2025, he's an incoming sophomore from Fort Wayne, picked up an offer from Western Michigan. And then our one commit was 2022. Actually, Antonio Lisenby was had intended to take a post-grad year, but has got some good traction playing for Mac Irvin Fire on the EYBL circuit. Picked up an offer from Maine and committed. He committed on the, it seemed like he committed on the spot because we did not have a reported offer for him from
No.
Maine.
No, yeah, he was I remember looking earlier in the summer and I was really surprised there was no offers listed for him. But I mean it's good that he has that and he was able to commit because he was probably one of the last 2022s. Could have been the last one at that level that was still waiting on, you know, an opportunity there. So I'm glad that he got that because he is a really talented post player.
And I think a lot of it for him is could he, I don't, you know, I didn't get a chance to see him play. The team he played with, obviously a team out of Chicago, didn't we weren't in any of the same locations. There was an opportunity and he wanted to play with us, wanted to play with our group. You know, I remember his dad played in high school. I mean, I remember when his dad played at Ben Davis, and so we go back in that regard a little bit. They had a weekend off when we were playing. He wanted to play, and I extended the offer, but only if he finished the summer with us. And he wasn't going to do that. So, but you know, was definitely always looking forward to seeing how he developed the face-up game. You know, could he be a guy that could drive from mid-range and be involved more than just what he did at Tech? And you know, I think he's got the athleticism to do it. He certainly has the body to do it. And what has improved in his game lately has been, not lately, but like the last 2 years, has been his motor and just his defensive awareness, his ability to impact plays and be a little bit of a rim protector at 6'7". So I'd be curious to see. I don't know what his relationships was with the main coaches before these last few days, but this is good for him. It's an opportunity, and it's a beautiful part of the country. It's definitely different than what he's used to. We all live in central Indiana. We all live in sort of a concrete jungle. So, there's not a whole lot of scenery other than, other than newer buildings and places like that. But he's definitely gonna see a different scenery up in Maine. So, good opportunity for
Yeah,
him.
it is, yeah. Like I said, I mean, I saw him a few times for Mac Irvin, playing on the EYBL circuit, I believe. I saw him a few times play and everything. I mean, he's just out there grinding, and he did look a little bit better with his ball handling. A little bit, it was, I mean, a little bit more freer offense where he can do a little bit more and stuff. But that is definitely, the face-up game is definitely something he's going to have to continue to improve on, getting that mid-range jumper at least at a consistent level and stuff. But I mean, around the basket, he's super explosive. And like you mentioned, he's got the body to play underneath the basket. So, but I mean, Maine's a good opportunity for him, in my opinion.
Yeah. And I don't know much of what they do offensively, but you could take a kid like Lisenby, and if he'll screen, defend, and rebound, the rest of it could come later. And those are things that can happen and get you on the court early, especially when you're as good as good athletically as he is. If he could do those three things at the level they need it, then he'll have a chance to play early. Anybody would have a chance to play early at that level. And then the offense maybe comes later. So, and I mean, he would be undersized as a true post player at the Division I level, and maybe not as much at a low Division I, but certainly, I mean, I think all these schools have dreams and goals of making the NCAA tournament and competing and being the next Cinderella story, so to speak. But if he could transition to a little bit more versatility than what he showed at Tech, then he's got a chance to be a difference maker athletically. So it's thoughts on Marcus Burton getting that Notre Dame offer?
I mean, yeah, I think you mentioned this earlier. Kind of breaks that high major ceiling right there. It's a good offer for him. I know he had a visit today with them, and I think they offered him right away on that visit. I mean, yeah, he's I feel like this was kind of a long time coming. Not necessarily a long time coming, but just kind of it was gonna happen. He was gonna get that Division One offer and everything. Notre Dame's a big one for him. I don't know exactly what Notre Dame is needing offensively or defensively, but obviously they see something in Marcus to extend that offer. But I mean, good for him. He's a really talented player, and he's really risen his stock over the past year. So I mean, it's good to see him break that kind of high major ceiling.
The issue with him will be the defensive end of the floor, being picked on because of his size. He's got the quickness to handle it, and he's not super long. Length is a nice physical asset to have, but he is a kid that's extremely crafty with the ball. He's an improved shooter. And verbal commits doesn't even have him listed yet. They brought in a point guard. I'm sorry, they don't have him listed yet with a Notre Dame offer, I should say. They brought in a point guard this year, JJ Starling, from where? From La Lu. Oh, he played at La Lumiere from New York. You can tell how much I pay attention to that stuff. But he's a 6'4" listed as a point guard. I assume playing with fears, I'm sure he played without the basketball quite a bit, because we know the ball sticks with fears a lot.
It does.
But Burton, he'll have a chance to go in there, and if Starling can play off the ball, then he'll have a chance to go in there and earn some minutes as a freshman. But he's got the quickness. He definitely loves getting downhill. His shooting has improved a lot over the years. I just think the question is going to be, defensively, is how is he going to be able to get picked on defensively? Because that'll definitely take place in big, in ACC play where teams, are doing a vast majority of the scouting. So,
Yeah.
anything?
I'm also curious to see back to Burton. If this Notre Dame offer, is it going to open up more high majors to be willing to look at him? Which is cu curious to me.
Well, there's always that chain reaction where one offer begets the other. But he could also, Notre Dame being right across the street from Mishawaka, he could also commit pretty quickly and shut that down. I don't know, what the sense of urgency is there. If they plan on, I hate to use the word wait, because I tell our guys never use that word. If what his process is, but I know obviously all the mid majors that had stepped up in this spring and summer now are probably, fretting that his recruiting has jumped, because for a while there the question was would Burton get a Division One offer? We all kind of felt like he was a Division One player, but the question was how high up. Let me get his recruiting here real quick with some of the dates. He didn't get his first Division One offer until March of this year. And that's not totally unusual. But, Purdue, Fort Wayne, Ball State, Miami of Ohio. Miami of Ohio was in June. So, that's Coach Steele. That's new coaching staff. And then it was Missouri State, Southern Indiana, Southern Illinois, Edwardsville, Appalachian State, Western Michigan, Drake, Illinois, Chicago, and now boom, here comes Notre Dame. So
Which is a big jump. That's a big jump out of all the schools you just listed.
it is, yeah, it definitely is. But hold on a second, let me go through here and change something while I'm going to change the Southern Illinois designation to Division One here while I'm thinking about it, doing some housekeeping as we go. Anything else stand out recruiting wise?
This is kind of an underrated kind of take right here, but I really like to see JJ Morris. I like to see him getting that Manchester offer. I've always been a big fan of JJ. I feel like he's been kind of an underrated player in the state. I like the way he plays. I like his style. He's been kind of the main guy for Argos for a long time. I've gotten to know his family quite a bit the last couple of years. And I know how bad he wants, to play at that next level. And he works extremely hard. He's kind of a versatile forward. Can kind of plays the post. Can play the wing. Got an improving jumper, especially from the outside. But it's good to see him get on the board. I'm hoping he starts getting more offers. Like that soon.
Yeah, he reminds me a little of Tyson Good at Lewis Cass, and that for their school
That's a
teams,
good comparison.
they both do a lot of ball handling, and obviously that diminishes as they get away from their school team more. So it's the function of being at a smaller school. You've got to kind of be the guy to not to do it all, but certainly to do a lot of it. Jake Davis picking up a little bit more steam at the Division One level. That's sort of been something we've been preaching for a while. I still think the things he does well translate, like we said, defense, rebounding, screening. I mean, he can do those things at a high level. And he definitely can defend multiple positions and even much bigger guys in a switch situation. If he got caught in a switch, it wouldn't be an easy out for the offense, that's for sure. Anything else before we move on to these questions?
I don't see anything. Obviously, Joey Hart continues to pick up offers. It seems like to me, it seems like it's once a week he gets a new offer.
Right.
At the mid-major, low major level. I mean, he's got a ton of all he has to have probably what, like 15 offers at this point.
Let's check it out.
Obviously, I feel like these schools coming in are a little bit too late because I feel like he's probably got some schools that he kind of sees him as a kind of a top tier. I don't know exactly when he's looking to commit,
He's got
but it's just it's just crazy.
18 offers.
Wow. Good for him.
You know, and you can so we you know we talked about Joey. We talked about Marcus Burton getting his first offer in March. Joey picked up his first offer in June of 2020 from Indiana
Wow.
State. Now that was a previous coaching staff,
Yeah.
but I know they have since reiterated their offer. So we didn't really do anything to change the dates of what he's got. But
Yeah.
you know, you look at Missouri Valley right now is probably the best. Well, I mean, Northwestern. I'd be curious to see where that Northwestern offer where that offer resides. It was a year ago, so it was last summer. It was his third offer. He, you know, that's his only high major offer, which is, you know, we've all I know, you know, Zach and I have always kind of felt like he was on the cusp of, is he a high major? Is he a mid major? He's kind of that guy that, you know, it was going to go either direction with it, but that's been his only one so far. I'm curious to see what the differentiation is between some of these schools. So, and if any of these newer ones, especially since April, I mean, he has picked up the bulk of them
Yeah.
since April. But you look at Loyola, that was last October. Wichita State was last October. Ball State, of course, has since picked up a new coaching staff, but again, I think that they have reiterated his offer. You know, so you looking at those, and they all have a chance to form, you know, a good relationship with him since they're pretty new into his recruiting cycle. Yeah, like you said, I'm anxious to see what some of these more recent ones, how far they get down the list or how far they make it in his process. I know for a while there, Loyola was looking pretty good. Was looking pretty good in their camp, but I don't
Yeah.
know if anything or what has changed since then.
Yeah.
But
And if
that's
I'm Ball
still.
State, yeah. If I'm Ball State or Indiana State, I would be making him one of my top priorities to keep in the state. Especially Indiana State with the coaching staff that they have in. They haven't really, I mean, he's granted he's only had 1 year under the helmet ISU, but I mean he seems to me he's not really making Indiana kids a priority at this point. And getting Joey Hart, that would be a great pickup for him just because it brings the state in a little bit and it would keep Joey Hart home and stuff. And Hart would come in right away and he would get some playing time at that level. And like it's kind of the same with Ball State. I think he'd come in and get some good minutes right away. Yeah, if I'm Ball State and Indiana State, I'm looking at Joey Hart and I'm trying to get him to commit.
Yeah, the current coaching staff they've offered Sam Orme. They tried to get involved with Ryan Conwell. They were involved with Jackson Edwards, and then they have an offer now. Well, they had an offer to Jack Benner. Of course, he committed to Purdue. So, they're pretty thin in state. They're pretty thin in state. But I mean, look, they've only had 15 offers. They've only had 15 offers to Indiana kids since October 2018. So, I mean, they're not tossing them around like candy. Actually, that's not true. It's 16 offers. Two of them were commits to a previous coaching staff. Brett Bosley was a walk-on commit, and the other one was Kimari Peterson. So, who I think has since transferred out. But
And Joey Hart's old teammate Lincoln Hill was originally committed to Indiana State, other than
correct.
that kind of once Lansing left, coaching staff kind of don't know really know what happened there, but he did not end up going to Indiana State, which is kind of a ironic situation when you think of Joey Hart's situation.
Yeah, I didn't quite get the Hale recruitment. I didn't see him at that level. You know,
No.
I was kind of surprised, and you know, I was thinking, well, maybe he's a better athlete than what I had known or heard. And obviously, in going over to see Joey, it was athletically there's just not much comparison. So
Right.
I was surprised that happened. But all right, let's get to these couple questions. So we definitely will take input from listeners on what they want us to talk about, especially in this little gap here where there's not going to be a whole lot going on. So this first question is great because obviously you're part of one of these camps, so you could talk a little bit about it. I've got my opinion on camps that I feel like I'm pretty outspoken on. but you know, this fits in. So here's the question. They've heard us talk about camps. And so that's what he said first. And in this week's pod, you referenced the upcoming top 100 and top 250 camps. That was last week's podcast. Let's see. He also noted that I noted a camp a few weeks ago that would be good to attend. And I think it was a college, like elite camp, Texas. I think it was the University of Indianapolis camp. The question is, what are good camps to attend and what are not good camps to attend where the paying might not be worthwhile? And he asked us if we could give a couple of examples of good ones. And I do think that the top 50, the Prep Hoops top 50 is a good camp, especially for the more unheralded kids in the state, because I think obviously you guys with Brandon Ramsey do a good job of covering those kids. And the one thing that I would say is some of these families chase camps across the Midwest and even some that have been housed here in Indianapolis by out of towners or out of staters, to be more specific, is first of all, when college coaches aren't going to be necessarily, and I say like, when I guess when I say college coaches, I guess sometimes I do mean D1 coaches. I do get a little myopic in that regard, because that's all these kids are dreaming to play there at that level. And that's when we talk about exposure, that's what we mean by exposure. And I know that obviously as much as anybody doing this for 32 years, that there's a lot of money in basketball to be offered to kids for scholarships. So I do sort of contradict myself sometimes, and I know that there are non D1 coaches at these camps, just like there's non D1 coaches at my fall league. But I don't put first and foremost exposure, you know, in our literature. I do talk about that we do have some college coaches there and specify that it's non D1 college coaches. But a lot of times I think they get more exposure to AAU coaches than they do to college coaches. But what I like about the top 50, what I like about the stuff that you guys do, and I'm sure it's the same in other states, is spend your money in two places. You spend your money in places where, first of all, you think it might be worth a day of basketball or whatever time you're being spent there. There was this camp that's being advertised that's $189 for 4 hours. And that's, to me, that was ridiculous. And there's no way in the world that's worth it, because there's nothing, there's no amount of exposure. I mean, there's just, it was silly. But the Preps Hoops camps, you know, those are well-run camps. Those are competitive camps. They're organized. You guys do a good job of getting the players in there. So it's not just, it might be sort of, you know, anybody can sign up for it. But at the same time, you guys are also doing a lot of work targeting kids and trying to get them in, which is no different than what I do for my fall league. So the value is there from a money perspective. And the other thing that I say that you should worry about, or that you should focus on if you're trying to figure out these camps, and then I'll let you speak on it, of course, is put your money into the people who are going to invest their time into you during your school season. You know, don't give your money to somebody who just shows up once a year and runs a camp. You know, give your money to the people who are going to go to your games or going to watch your games live stream or are going to make a specific trip to watch your kid play, you know, because that's their job. You know, and that's where I think guys like you, I think guys like, and I would say the same thing about subscribing to websites, guys like you guys, guys like Trevor Andershock's site, my website, you know, we're in the gym. I'm in a gym four nights a week, sometimes five, watching basketball during the school season. You guys are in there. I would say I don't know too many people that go to more games than I do, But you guys are in the gym 3 or 4 nights a week too, and without question. And you guys do a good job of covering the state. So that's where you should put your money, because they're going to put the time into your kid to watch him play, to report about him. And we may not all have the same idea on who we should focus on from a reporting standpoint, but the bottom line is that you don't want to pay, you don't want to go to some camp where the guy just shows up once a year to run the camp and collect your money. Put your money into the camps where guys like Kyler and Trevor and Brandon Ramsey and Zach, Zach Tyler for us, myself, are going to. And I know it sounds a little self-serving, but at the same time, we're going to be in the gyms throughout the year watching games played.
Yeah, I mean, the top 250, I think, when it gets to the fall and the end of the AAU season and stuff, I think it's one of the best camps in the state. Simply because, I mean, there's one word that you can describe this event, and it's exposure. I mean, like you just mentioned, you've got Brandon, you've got myself, you've got you, Trevor, so many people that are there to watch you play and everything, to give evaluations and stuff, especially with the top 250. We Going into this, we've seen these kids multiple times and stuff, and we can take past evaluations. Okay, did they improve on such and such? Did they improve on shooting? Then we can kind of, give an updated evaluation on that. And I think another big thing is you build connections at these camps. Parents have an opportunity to build connections with us, us writers, us scouts. In a way, if we want to, if they have questions about, the recruiting process and things like that, it's a perfect place to do that. I'm always willing to talk to a parent, and stuff like that. Just talk to them, what college coaches are looking for. Kind of use my connections in a way to help them out. And then you've got, this top 250. Of course, we'll have as big of names as we can possibly have on this. There will be some D1 players and things like that. But I mean, this event is mostly for, the D2, the D3s, the NAIAs, the JUCOs, and stuff. It allows those lower level coaches to be there to watch these kids in a really good competitive camp. There's, I mean, especially when you get into camps kind of in the central Indiana location, you really can't go wrong with a lot of them, just because that's most of the time you'll see guys like myself that are in the gym constantly, especially throughout the high school season, that are watching you, that are, going out of their way to watch you and see if how you're doing in that way. We do a good job with these camps. We always get, we might not have the top 250 players in these camps, but we've got nearly all, almost all of them. It's just real competitive. You get really good exposure that way, and you get to build connections.
What I like is the freshman camp. That to me
Yeah.
is the no-brainer one. That to me is the because it's a great way for them to be introduced, well, to yours, obviously, to your website, and also a good way to be introduced to people like us who go to these things and watch kids and start to put together names and figuring out who we think is good and who, not that who we don't think is good, but certainly there are some that we like better than others. And the top freshman camp, there haven't been too many misses on that camp, other than maybe an injury or two, of kids who should be there who aren't, right? I mean, I've not really seen nothing in my mind ever stands out year to year as much as Eric. I know Eric Gardner started that camp, and I'm always someone that will send him names to go after because just because I hear things through different channels as well, and I'm still sending him names. So it's a group effort because I want to see some of these guys compete against other kids too. I want to see them compete against some of the other top players in their class. That's my favorite one.
Yeah, I love the freshman camp. I think it out of all the camps that we do, I think that is the best one. Just because simply, I get to see all these kids for the first time. I get a good base evaluation on every single kid. And what's great about that is our site specifically, we have an evaluation on every single player there. So it is worth that. We all see them at least twice, during that camp play. And it's something that we can build off when we're giving evaluations and we're scouting them, you know, as their high school career continues. But no, it's just, that's another one where you build a connection right off the bat at a very early stage too. You know, get your name out there. I mean, I highly recommend it. If you're a parent out there that has, you know, incoming freshmen, I highly recommend this camp. It's just a great way for guys like us to see you for the first time and to get a name and a face put together. Great, great opportunity there.
And what's different with the freshman camp is it's a little bit more exclusive. It's not invitation only, but it is invitation, but there's also a lot of coaching references, a lot of coaching reference make, you know, that get made. You know, you should go look at, you know, you should go get this kid in, and then boom, that kid gets in. So it's not come one, come all, but it definitely is a little bit more targeted than what all the breadth of the 250 camp is. So that's one thing I've liked about it. And I think we talked about the top 100. They probably meant the top 100 of the IBCA class, the IBCA camp.
Yeah.
That is kind of a different animal because it is run by the school coaches. They go through a nominations process. They go through. It's probably the one area it's probably as political of a process as you can get, because there's definitely some kids there that don't belong, and in lieu of others, and sometimes we don't know if it's other kids got invited and weren't able to come or just didn't get invited. But you know, like we had that little situation this year where two kids from a team that won two games were at the camp, and it's like, how?
Right.
You know, let's come on. We need, there needs to be a different level, unless both of them or one of them was hurt all year. And maybe they were, and I just didn't know, but a team that wins two games shouldn't have two kids in an all-star camp. Not if we're to be taking the whole process seriously.
Right.
I can't beat that drum enough. So that's just how I feel. I won't waver from it. I think at some point winning matters. And if you're taking kids off teams that don't win, then I think you're sending the wrong message as to what you're trying to do.
Right. Yeah. The top 100, it's a good camp and everything, especially when there's a live period involved, which there normally is.
Yes.
Kind of the division one coaches are there. You know, they have some other, you know, other low level coaches there as well and everything. But yeah, I agree with you on the winning thing. You know, it's kind of bad when I can look at those kids. I'm like, why are they there? And then I can rattle off five names that I think should be there.
In a minute. And again, that's a different process. That's definitely an exclusive camp. That is designed to be an exclusive camp. It is a lot like, it's tighter than what even the freshman camp that you guys run is. It's a multi-tiered process run by coaches. And look, they're well-intentioned, but sometimes the intention is you help me get my guy in, I'll help you get your guy in.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, like I said, I'll just beat that drum to death if it continues to happen where you just get, I mean, it'd been fine maybe if you get one guy in, but not, come on, not two. Especially when the school in your conference doesn't get its best returning player in the camp.
Yeah.
I'm not naming names right now. We've already gone down this path. But yeah, the team that won your conference, the team that gets in the same number of teams with the team that has two wins. So anyway, yeah. So those are my, I think to really parse it down, to answer the question just directly is spend your money in two places or for two reasons. One, you think it's a good value, and two, it's with people who on the back end invest their time and resources into your kid later. Which is just in going to games and doing the writing and in talking about them to college coaches. And I don't begrudge anybody having a business model where they're running camps all over different places. I helped one of my assistants help or worked for a camp that we ran it, and he ran it in five different states. And he was a young kid. He didn't know how to run a camp. So he paid me to help him. And they were promising exposure. And as I sat at this camp, because I emailed all the coaches I knew that were in the area. And as I sat at this camp, it was we were in near Cincinnati, Ohio, in Wilmington, Ohio. We were in Detroit, Michigan. There was one in Chicago, Joy of the Game, people I know pretty well through AAU connections. And then there was one somewhere I couldn't go to. It may have been one in Kentucky, I can't remember. And then we had the Indiana one. Now, the Indiana one, sure. We could talk a little bit about exposure because I knew those kids. I think we had Trevor down there for that one. He knew those kids. That one made a lot of sense for those guys. But we were in Detroit, Michigan, and I'm thinking we're running a camp and we're praising it, the exposure for this camp. And the exposure is to me. And I didn't know three of them. I didn't know who any of them were. I was asking parents, what's this kid's name? What's that kid's name? Because it's because the people that were actually taking the information didn't do a great job of assigning numbers. So it was kind of potlucking on the fly. And luckily the fall league training, I've been doing that for a long time, gave me the ability to, quickly throw something together numbers wise. But it was, I felt bad. I mean, we put in the work. We definitely put in the work. And Matt Brown, who's now a high school coach, a successful high school coach in North Carolina, he did as good a job as possible. And it was, but the exposure element, those kids just paid money to get a day of basketball. I can only tell you three names from those camps. And all three of them were named Lindsey Hunter. Lindsey Hunter the second, Lindsey Hunter the third, and Lindsey Hunter the fourth.
Wow.
Yep. He was very, and Lindsey was there. He was good to hang out with. It was cool. He basically had two different moms and he was doing the George Foreman thing, I guess, where he just named everybody after him. It's
That's a
crazy.
good story.
He was a good hang. I do appreciate that. He was a good hang, and he wasn't on those bad boy teams, but he was definitely on some good Detroit Pistons teams. And his two of his kids were really good. The other one was not so much. But yeah, that was, I mean, that those kids basically just paid for a day of basketball, and that's fine if you can afford it. But it's not cool if you can't afford it and you're scraping pennies together to do that because you think your kid's going to get something out of it more than just that. So spend your money where you think it's worth it. It's the value for your money, and spend the money on the people who are going to invest back into your kid. Those are the two angles I go with it. It's great. It's way better if it's the latter of those two, because like I said, guys like Kyler, guys like Brandon Ramsey, Trevor Andershock, myself, Zach Tyler, we're going to put the time back into your kids by watching them. Even if sometimes our writing isn't always 100% glowing, it's always going to be constructive, and it's always going to be with an eye toward improvement or an eye toward what they do well. So anything else you want to add to that before we go to the next one?
I mean, going back to camps and stuff, when you're looking at camps, try to find ones that have a proven track record.
Yeah.
We don't really do a whole we don't do a bad job about when there's in-state camps. At least Brandon's there. I mean, as far as the preppers guys, I mean, Jim's there. Like we've got people that are constantly at these in-state camps and stuff. So in the state of Indiana, you don't have to worry too much about it. I recommend, going to the college camps as well.
Yes. That's yeah, I guess we should have talked more about that. Like the college elite camps. The prospect camps that, especially the ones that are put out on social media, some of them, I didn't mean to step on your point there, but
No, you're good.
I probably got off track and forgot to mention that stuff. Because a lot of these camps, They are, but they do try to, the D1s especially do try to target kids. Indianapolis does try to target kids, but then they put it out on social media. And anytime one of those guys asks me to retweet it, I do. I'll always retweet camp information when I'm asked to do it because I appreciate it when they retweet or somehow pass along my fall league information. But they so like University of Indianapolis is going to have a camp coming up. They've asked me to retweet that, so I think we can talk about that here. And a lot of those, and by rule, those have to be listed on the NCAA site on their, I'm sorry, on their school's website, their athletics website. So you can always go to an athletic team's website and check for camps because they are by rule, especially the NCAA schools, required to post before the camp is held. So go ahead, finish your point. I'm sorry, I stepped on it, which
No,
I'm prone to
I was just
do.
no. That was I mean that's basically exactly what I was where I was going. That I mean you can't go wrong with those camps there. And then back to your point of like if you don't have money, if you really are scraping, nickels and dimes to go to these camps and everything, always feel free to reach out to one of us or something like that, and we can give you try to at the best give you the information on whether it's worth it or not. And like there's also other ways, like if a family can't afford to get a kid into a camp or whatever, there's also other ways to exposure. I mean the high school season's a great way to do that. That's kind of a free of charge type of thing to do that. I mean camps aren't make or break, but there are ones out there that are really helpful, especially these in-state ones, the top 250 expo, the top 100 if your player is good enough, if your kid's good enough to compete in that. There are great events out there, and even the college, college camps and stuff. I mean, we have guys that go there to scout and to cover as well. There's a lot of good ones out there. There are a few ones that are kind of iffy, but feel free to get familiar with guys like Jim, guys like me, guys like Brandon. Get familiar with those people, and I know I can speak for myself at least. Like, I'm never hesitant to help a parent out. Or help a family out, or help a player out, with any information as far as camps, recruiting, or anything like that. So yeah, just be aware of like the surroundings and stuff. Do your research, and honestly, just see if they have a proven track record on having good exposure.
Second topic we've been asked to discuss is social media use by players and parents. He said, especially when they tag guys like us or other evaluators. The question is this beneficial for exposure of the player? And is there more information that is more helpful than less helpful? Example, highlight reel versus stats. I'll start here. In general, I tell parents to stay away from social media. I tell parents to stay away from internet websites. The big thing before Twitter became really prevalent was obviously getting on bulletin boards and forums and things like that. Because every parent goes out looking for praise. They go out looking for what are the nice, my son had a great game. What are the nice things people are saying about my son? The problem is, and I think it's gotten a little bit better because I think we've done a good job of self-checking trolls, so to speak. But for every time someone says something positive, there's probably two or three people who will say something negative, and they'll say like, "Oh, that kid sucks," or "He's not as good, he's overrated," blah blah blah. And they're usually very anonymous, and they're usually almost always extremely irrelevant to anything that you're trying to accomplish. And every now and then I'll get a note from a parent saying, "Hey, did you see what someone wrote on Twitter?" And it'll be someone who's just kind of being an ass and not constructive at all. And there have been a couple times where I've said, "Look, that it's true." this is, yeah, he's right. It's, but it's because there's, look, constructive criticism is a valuable tool for improvement. But the social media stuff, I just would stay away from it from a reading perspective. From a writing perspective and from a posting perspective, I don't think there's anything that's harmful in posting your kid's stats from a game I would avoid tagging people that don't follow you. I would avoid DMing people who don't follow you. Although I keep my DMs open. I would avoid DMing people who don't follow you solely for the purpose of sending out stats and stuff. We will find them. Like we'll be following your high school team site or your high school team's account. And if they retweet it or they post something from a game, that's where we'll see. I think we take more from it. I take more from it when I see it coming from the coach. You know, when I see, like me, I don't post a lot of my team stuff, a lot of my individual stuff throughout the spring and summer. I let them do it and then I retweet it. Or someone like you, Kyler, if you write about our guys, I will retweet that every time. 'Cause I run the risk of, and it is a, you know, I, you know, oh, I write so much more about this kid or that kid, you know, and I just eliminate it altogether by I make sure I see what's being written about our guys and then I retweet that. Even some of the, you know, even some of it that's not always 100% rosy. But, you know, we get, I know you want, parents want people to know who their kids are, but there's also this notion of oversaturation where you're not really doing much because we just, I know sometimes I just pass it up, especially the DM stuff. I just blow by it because it's, I worry more about what comes across the feed because that's who I follow. That's where I go with it. If I see a question being asked of me, I certainly address it, you know, every instance. But stuff that are just coming across my feed, coming across my DMs, hey, check this kid out. And the one that's kind of a, I wouldn't take it so far as a pet peeve, but the one that's amusing is the one where the parent acts like a reporter. And they're reporting their kid stuff as if they're some objective third party. And we just know they're not. You know, and that's, we've seen that game. I mean, it's like they're trying to fool people into thinking that somebody's writing about their kid when really it's just dad or mom. But I have no problem posting, hey, this is my son. Here's what he did tonight, blah, blah, blah. I just wouldn't try to make it up like you're some objective third party. I guess that's where I would go with that.
I mean, me, I come up from a different generation, obviously, like you do and everything. I mean, I grew up Twitter, like in high school, Twitter was brand new, and everything like that. But as I've grown into this role, of media and everything like that, I've learned how good of a tool Twitter can be. And there's kind of some there is there some do's and don'ts. If we're going to talk about parents specifically, I'm not a big fan of the constant spamming of tagging people. You know, guys like, I mean, I see it all the time. It's always in my notifications. It'll be a parent, my kid had blah 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 points and stuff like that, and they'll tag every single media guy out there. That's kind of in our media circle, and I constantly get those messages and stuff. I'm
And
also in agreement
we
with
talk
you.
about it with each other.
And it's just it's okay. I can understand if he has a phenomenal game and stuff like that, but I don't need to know that that kid scored 10 points and stuff like that. I just don't need to know that. I mean, great, good for you and stuff, but like, the right opportunity would come for me to see that player. And then go into the DM parts and stuff. Like you, if there's a question that a parent has, and they want to reach out to me via DM, on Twitter's the main one that I use. Which I think all of us use. I don't use Instagram or Snapchat or anything like that for basketball purposes. I kind of leave that into like a kind of a personal situation. But anyway, a DM from a parent, if they have a question about something, or they want to let me know, a certain thing, I'm okay with that and stuff like that. But sending me stats and highlights of your player and of your son and things like that, like I don't really care for that. I'm just gonna kind of, give it the thumbs up or something like that, and then kind of move on. there really is no nothing like with that. I think parents oftentimes get a little bit confused because they think that they're going to see a video or something like that, and they're going to expect us to write an article or a story or something like that on that player, using that on film. I think that's a lot of misrepresentation with Prep Hoops. They see all these player evaluations and these type of articles that we do and things like that. Like, I think they just expect us to, stop what we're doing in a way and write an article or something like that. Now, I am good about, if I'm tagged into something, I am good about at least, hitting that like button on those. Now, I won't retweet a bunch of things. I'm very particular in the stuff that I retweet, but I see no problem with me giving them a like or something like that. Especially, if it is a parent, it just depends on the situation. I'm big on if the athletic department or the high school Twitter accounts or the coaches or whatever want to tag me on stuff, I always get that a like and stuff like that. But when you're constantly spamming me, if you're a particular parent that constantly spams us and stuff, it just gets annoying at that point. We just don't need to know every single game and things like that. But I mean, that's just kind of my thoughts with that and social media. I love it as a tool. But parents just got to kind of watch for the do's and don'ts of how to use Twitter.
I would go back to just be real. Don't, just act like, again, don't act like you're an objective third party, like you're reporting something that you saw. You're a parent. Be a parent. And there's nothing wrong with using social media. You just got to expect, you've got to expect the pitfalls of it too. They're the scale may be tipped to more positive people than negative people than what it used to be, but it's not all going to be positive, and it's not all going to be sunshine and roses. But so that I would just be wary of that when you're putting stuff out there. But and going back to what you said about the highlights, because that was part of the question too. We're in this edit highlight video culture now, which is fun. It's entertainment, and it's memories. The highlight reel. I mean, parents took, we've taken pictures. Since they came out with the Insta camera back in the late 50s, so taking a picture is no different of a memory than getting a highlight, getting a highlight video or something. And but as a recruiting tool, I don't know of any time where I've ever heard a college coach say he was influenced by a highlight video. There might be an instance where it may like, hey, who's that? Because a lot of these guys who do a great job, we're going to have a video guy this year put together highlight packages for the league, for the fall league, like a weekly thing. I hope that's the plan at least. And then we've got in the gym hoops, they're there, they're taking orders from families and that want highlights and things like that. But I view that as you're paying for a service to get a memory of your child playing basketball and a well-produced memory at that. But there is very little exposure value to it. College coaches want whole games. They want whole games or they want whole stretches. They want to see. Now, Huddle has created a situation like with Synergy that colleges and NBA teams have. Huddle will clip things possession by possession. They want to see every possession. They don't want to see just the good stuff. They want to see the misses. They want to see the turnovers. They want to see everything because they're going to go to your school coach and they're going to get it anyway. They're not going to make decisions based on highlight reels. And that's just a fact. So you do those things because you want the memories. You do those things because, I mean, they are kind of cool, especially if you like the music and which I do. It's nice. And I do, when I have school, when I've been a school coach, I haven't coached school ball in a while just because it's too tiring to do both. But we put together film packages after every game. And There was good offense, bad offense, good defense, bad defense, good off or good transition, bad transition. And then we did like a little blooper reel for every game, which that was kind of fun. And, so I did some editing there and enjoy that process. And I do some editing just in general, professionally, but not on the basketball front. But the highlight stuff can be fun because it is well produced, and these guys that have really up their ante in terms of production value, but it's still not a recruiting tool. So just that's our opinion, and I think it's backed up by coaches. They want to see whole games. So I would stay away thinking it's going to be, hey, I'm going to put a highlight here on Twitter and it's going to turn some heads and everybody. And the only thing it's going to do is it might make a guy like me text a high school coach about a kid I didn't know and say, hey, what's the story on this? And that coach might be like, yeah, it's only four shots he's made in three games, and you could make yourself look pretty good, when you do it like that. But that's the only thing with the video stuff, is just making sure that it's that you understand that the college coaching aspect, they want whole games. They don't want just highlight stuff, because there's no misses in highlight reels. And that's just not
Right.
realistic. That's just not realistic.
And especially if you're not a Division One player. I mean, I know social media, you see all the time, you see guys like Xavier Booker have these really cool highlight reels and stuff like that. I mean, those are just going to get made without Xavier Booker even knowing about them. I mean,
Right.
basically that's what it is. And like, I'm not a big fan of, paying for a service. Like, it's not a recruiting tool, like you just said. It's not. And I'm not a big fan of, kind of a Division Two and down player, create, paying a service to have highlights put together and stuff. It's very easy to create those yourself nowadays. I mean, when my brother was being, he was looking for a school to play, after high school. I mean, he ended up at Rockford and stuff. My Padball, who was 65 years old, he figured out a way to put Huddle videos and stuff together. I
Right.
mean, it's never gone. It's not going to hurt you to make a highlight video. It'll never hurt you, but it's certainly just not, it's not going to be that extra like, ooh, like boost or whatever. Like for me personally, with my ride evaluations and stuff, I mean, I don't really sugarcoat a whole lot of things and stuff. I will say the stuff that you did bad and that you worked on and stuff. I will never write an evaluation based off a highlight video where I see you make four threes and stuff like that. Like that's just something that I'm not going to do. In general, it's just being in the media and stuff. But I mean, highlight videos, it is what it is. My opinion, don't pay for a service to do that because it's just not going to, it's not going to hurt you, but it's not going to, give you that recruiting exposure that you think it might.
Right. And that's the key differentiation, is the recruiting exposure stuff. That because you've got look, you've got Felix Rogers, who for my money is the best in the game, into Jim Hoops. You talked about, you've got Jeremiah Bustle, who used to work with Felix, who now does his own thing, and you've got a couple of these other kids that have popped up. I think what one of them is, who's the kid from Westfield, Drew, is that his name? But they put a lot of production value into it. Making the highlight videos you see there are not the things you draw from Huddle. The things you draw from Huddle are the cameras that are set at mid-court, that go side to side from a top angle. And it's tough to get a ton of perspective for the speed of the game, the physicality of the game, and relative to what each individual player is playing at. But the stuff that Felix and those other guys are doing, they're on the court, sometimes literally on the court, especially for the pregame stuff. Again, the production value that goes into it is a different thing. But if you're buying that, if you're paying for that service, you're paying is the equivalent of a photo album that my mom and my grandparents have stacks of for over the years. And now since my mom's passed away, I've got stacks of them that, I've got six photo albums that, like, I haven't looked at in 40 years, but I'm not getting rid of them because they're memories. I'll probably never look at them, but I'm not getting rid of them. Videos, We did have some home movies. Those were fun, but of course they're gone now because they're old film that's deteriorated and we never got changed over to digital. But But the stuff they're doing, that you, if you're doing that, you're doing it for the memories. You're doing it for the keepsake. You're doing it for the entertainment value. And it is good. And like you said, the stuff with that just ends up on Twitter without even a prospect knowing about it or a player knowing about it, that's their advertisement. That's their 30 seconds. That's their 30 seconds of advertisement basically saying, look, this is what it could look like if you do it. You know, now, you know, obviously the videos you pay for are much longer. So it's a much, you know, more involved process. But, you know, again, if you're talking about a recruiting situation, the key there is send whole games. Either whole games on the whole, just send them a link from Huddle, because I think most of these schools are involved in some sort of video service. If they're not, you need to freaking go to one that does. And the other one is, the other one that can be now is just clip every possession that you're involved in, and let them know, even the bad ones. And you'll get rid of some of the bad ones, because you'll get rid of the ones where you don't produce a stat, where you just kind of stand in the corner with your thumb up your backside because you don't know what you're doing in a given possession. That's co college coaches will never see that. But if you send them every possession that you stat on, including turnovers, you know, free throw misses, shot misses, you'll get a lot more of a reaction from coaches, because they'll know that that's a whole game they're looking at. They're not just looking at mom and dad or kid cherry picking all the good things. They're looking at a full game.
And which is kind of a, we can use Indiana Rivals for an example. A lot of times we have like, who Indiana's recruiting and stuff. We'll use Jalen Harrelson as an example. We've got highlight videos of that and stuff like that. But that's what, our subscribers pay to see and stuff. They want to see the highlight videos and things like that. For guys that aren't Division One and stuff like that, like you just said, coaches want to see a full game and stuff. And I think this, I mean, it's kind of ironic. You would get, I think you'd get more respect from a coach or a scouting service or something like that if you send them a full game of the things that you did well and the things that you did bad. In that way, I mean, it's just gonna serve you no point to send them a video of you dunking, of you having four threes or whatever, when you ha also had 10 turnovers. I mean, you're just kind of lying to yourself, and you're lying to the people that that are trying to help you and stuff. But yeah, look at highlight videos as kind of, memories, like Jim just said. I still look at my highlights from when I played football and stuff like that. All the time when I'm around my friends and stuff like that, and we're just kind of goofing around. Just don't expect those highlight videos to be a great recruiting tool. If you can kind of accept that, then you'll be okay.
I agree. Clearly, I agree. Let's see. Is there anything else there? I think those are the two main ones. I think we covered most of the ground he's looking for. But for anybody that listens, and we take ideas. We'll answer questions. We'll answer them on the podcast. We'll answer them via DMs. You can DM me at Courtside Indiana or Courtside IND or JW. REAMER. That's my personal one. And if you want to follow me and just get basketball, or if you want to follow us and just get basketball, do the Courtside IND one. If you just beware that my personal Twitter account sometimes strays from high school basketball into local politics and things like that. And I've had some people DM me or message me say, I only quit. Stick to basketball. I only follow you for basketball. I'm like, well, then here, follow this account. But anyway, Kyler, I appreciate you coming on. Tell them where they can find your work at.
Of course, I'm on Twitter at Kyler Staley, KYLERSTALEY. That's pretty simple, all lowercase. Find me on there. And then, of course, I'm on Prep Hoops and everything. I always have a few articles throughout the week. Now that kind of basketball's kind of slowed down, we'll just kind of be thinking of creative ways to get some, different type of articles on there. Of course, you can find Brandon Ramsey on there. He's always got content up every day. And then, of course, I'm on, if you're a big IU fan, I'm on the IU Rivals website. It's called thehoosier.com. We do a great job of updating recruiting and stuff like that. And we always have great stories on there. good opinion pieces, good forum threads. So you can always do that if you're a big Indiana fan, like a lot of people are.
I'm on there as well, and if you don't know who I am on there, I'm not telling you.
I won't either.
Have to figure it out for yourself. I mean, I've had the name for freaking 25 years or longer than that now, so it's not as if it's anything new. Box Out Sports is the leading online graphic solution, giving you the ability to create professional content in seconds to highlight your team and student athletes this season. You can sign up for a free demo at boxoutsports.com. I think they've started to add some video stuff on there too. Speaking of highlights, athletics directors use that, coaches can use that. I think parents can use that. I don't know. But Zach points out that it's not just for basketball, it's for other sports too. So if you run a program or a club, take a look at Box Out Sports because it can provide you some outstanding tools to use. So, Kyler, what do you got coming up this week? Anything basketball related?
Nothing basketball related going on. I mean, I've got a couple of articles coming up this week for at the Hoosier.com. Tonight I'll be taking a look at IU 2023 guard Gabe Cupps. He'll be playing on ESPN against LeBron James' son. So I'll be watching that. I'm sure
That
I'll have a
tonight.
forum thread.
That's tonight.
Yep, it's on ESPN. So that's at 9 o'clock Eastern time. So
Cool.
but yeah, I'll be watching that. But other than that, I mean, it's just kind of, just kind of recapping, taking a little break here,
Yes.
so getting my mind straight and everything, because I've watched a bunch of kids for multiple times and stuff. So kind of got to, decompress a little bit. So, but we'll hop into basketball once, August camps and stuff get going.
I'm definitely taking a break. But I'm also part of that break is taking everything I got in spreadsheets and putting them in databases. I'm not sure why. It's been a weird year. 2022 has not been a smooth year, but it's luckily we're still basketball and still trudging through everything. So
Absolutely.
everyone, thank you for listening to the Courts in Indiana podcast. If you listen every week, we appreciate it. If not, please hit that subscribe or add button on your podcast app to get them delivered straight to your phone, tablet, or desktop. As always, we'd appreciate a rating and review. And you can reach us directly on our Courtside Indiana Twitter and Instagram at Courtside IND. That's Courtside IND on both Twitter and Instagram. And like Kyler said, really most of it's Twitter for us. So that's the best way to get a hold of us. So Kyler, appreciate it, man. I don't know. We'll figure out next week. We may not have an episode next week. Then we start leaning into the season, start looking at guys that recruiting wise haven't probably start focusing on kids that don't have their recruiting established. So going forward, but we may take a week off next week. It depends on my travel schedule, really, is what it does. So,
Wait,
but
I'm always willing to come on when you need me.
all right, Kyler, cool, man. Appreciate it. Thanks.
Later.